since they want to know.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini on KOAL 107.3 FM at 7:50 a.m.
Time for some more high school basketball talk. Of course, we're heading into the state tournament for 3A and 2A. It's right around the corner. We're still about a week away in the 1A classification, but the biggest game in the history of Pinnacle basketball is upon us. Coming up on Friday, the Panthers have a chance to grab a share of their region crown. Already, they have blown away the school record for single-season wins. And now, standing in their way, it's Monticello. That is it. Friday night, 7 o'clock, senior night for the Pinnacle Panthers. We'll talk about that more right now. Joining us in studio, we have head coach Ray Jones. Coach, always a pleasure to get you in. Always a pleasure to talk about the team. And, yeah, this is a big one.
Man, it is, man. First, I'm blessed to be here, man. I'm glad you allowed me to come in, and let's talk some Pinnacle basketball.
Allow you to come in. You've been coming in here for like 5, 6 years.
I sneak in, I walk in, I jump from the roof. It's, yeah, sorry, guys.
Hey, you and I have talked numerous times this season about this team, and we knew that the potential was there for this to be a pretty special season. And, Coach, it has all the ingredients now to become a special season. You can't ask for much more. I mean, if I was to tell you at the beginning of the year, Coach, one game, last game of the year at home, you knock off Monticello, you're going to win a region championship, you would have taken that.
In a second, yeah. I mean, and this is, like you said, this is something we've been building, and we've been working at it, and I think the guys have persevered, and I think they've earned the right to at least have a shot at the crown.
There's been some ups and downs throughout the season. I know it started off lovely, and I don't want to make this a negative, but I'm just going to be factual here. Anytime a season starts off 7-0, 8-0, 9-0, maybe you start buying into the hype a little bit, and you got to worry about that. That's a real thing with kids. And, Coach, all of a sudden, a couple of losses here and there, and you wonder, you know, there was a big loss to Milford, and you wonder, okay, is this the here-we-go-again type moment? The fact that the boys have been able to overcome those moments is what stands out to me. Not the fact that you guys are 6-1 in region. That's fantastic. Not the fact that Cole's averaging 13, 14 points a game. Not the fact that Jonathan's averaging 11, 12. It's all great. The fact that you guys have managed to overcome adversity is what I'm blown away by.
Mm-hmm. I think that last word you said is it kind of sums up what we are, that word adversity. You know, and we try to implement that, and we try to put that into the DNA through the way that we practice, through the way that we talk to them, through the things that we put them through. The ability to fall down and get back up is a lifelong lesson. The ability to say, all right, well, we took this loss, but that didn't define us, I think is important. But, you know, to go back to the 7-0 start, I mean, that for us was a tricky thing to navigate. And this is just factual. Historically, Pinnacle has not been a high win percentage organization. We just hadn't been able to do it. And so now you've got these kids who are going, oh, my goodness, we're invincible. And as a coach, you're going, we're about to run into some people who will knock that off very, very quickly. And it's keeping them in it long enough, but also making them resilient enough to withstand that first loss. And then that second loss that comes after. And then that third loss that you should have won, but you didn't. And then the fourth loss, right? And it's keeping them engaged long enough to go, no, okay, we'll take ups and downs and we'll learn from them.
That's the beauty of coaching.
Yeah.
Right? I guess that's the element that we don't talk about enough, right? When you're winning, everybody, they say winning cures all, but guess what? Winning at an unstoppable rate is unsustainable. It just doesn't happen.
Yep. I mean, I compare it to other teams who are doing really well around the thing. I think I take like Manti in the 3A round. I mean, they're 20-2, and you go, well, that 20's nice, but two teams knocked them off, mm-hmm. You know, and you go, so what did they learn from that? And I lose a lot of my own personal experiences. We were 29-2 my senior year, and we were state champs. Those two losses fueled us, right? And those two losses could have either made us or broke us, and we decided to let us make us, and that propelled us forward. So for us, that 7-0 starts great, but we were going to take some losses. I mean, I won't say it was unrealistic, but from a coaching mind, I go, it was unrealistic for us to sustain an undefeated season the whole way, and that's not what we were looking for. We had a really humbling loss at Tintic, and it really changed the way that the guys approached the game, and then we went on another little tear. And then we lost to Monticello, and now we've went on another little tear, and now we get to see Monticello again, and I'm hoping our run continues.
Yeah, but we'll go back to that first loss to Monticello. So that was the final day of January. It wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
We're just talking about a couple of weeks ago. I know it seems like a lot long. It seems like it was a while ago, but no, it wasn't. Just a couple of weeks ago. In that game, Coach, I mean, you guys were lights out defensively throughout the first quarter, holding to 2 points, mm-hmm. if I remember correctly. But then it was like a tale of two quarters. So it's 9-2 at the end of the first quarter. It's 18-2 at the end of the second quarter. They go on an 18-2 run in the second quarter. It flipped. What was the biggest change between quarter one and quarter two? Because that's as opposite end of the spectrum as you can possibly get.
Yeah, I mean, being on the road and we've become battle tested in that sense. Part of it is just missing shots. Part of it is I think we got a little complacent. We figured that we would have a better quarter scoring, and we just couldn't score the ball. And I think we let one become two. Right, we let our lack of ability to make baskets. We started to shift our thinking from defense to, oh my goodness, we've got to make shots. And that's, I mean, some of that's young mistakes, and some of that's learning how to win consistently as a program, and it's growing pains at the end of the day. And so, you know, looking at this next one, we'll try to make adjustments, and me as a coach will try to do a better job of, you know, calming them down and leading them, and you know, I can do a better job and they can do a better job, and hopefully it all comes together at the right time and we can handle business the way we're supposed to.
Again, our guest right now, Coach Ray Jones, again, of the Pinnacle Panther basketball team. Coach, I asked Coach Dave Justice this question earlier. I'm going to ask you the same question. When you look at the way your team plays at home compared to on the road, I would assume it's maybe even more drastic in 1A because you guys have some just flat-out awful road trips. For those who are unaware of it, a 1A road trip, I mean, you could be on the road for 10 hours in one day, there and back. I mean, these are epically long road trips. Mm-hmm. Is there a big difference from playing at home compared to on the road?
You know what? The funny thing is, early on, we actually played better on the road. Now, I'm not talking about this season. I'm talking about the past three seasons. We actually played our best basketball on the road. And I have my theory of why that is. Part of me feels like it's the, you know, you get, you're at home, you have to, you play a different style because you're trying to impress people in the stands. I think we've blurred out a lot of that culture, and guys are locked into the game itself. So now I actually think we're shifting to where we can play really well at home because we feed off the energy in a different way. Nobody's trying to do too much. Nobody's trying to go, you know, go outside of themselves. But early on in my coaching career at Pinnacle, we played better on the road, which was weird. That's never been a thing for me. But now I would say there's definitely a difference. You got to bring your own energy on the road. Hopefully the girls are there for us. They can cheer for us. We can cheer for them. But for the most part, we're going to Monument Valley. We're not about to get 30 fans to drive 5 hours.
Yeah.
You know, you go to Whitehorse, we're not getting 30 fans to come down, you know, 3.5 hours. It just doesn't work like that. So that's been the trickiest part, is generating your own energy on the road and learning how to win without the hype.
We'll talk about the energy, and we'll start on the offensive side of the ball. I mentioned Cole Barton averaging about 15 per game. The fact that Cole's averaging 15 and shooting at about a 50% clip, extremely impressive now that we're at this stage in the season. It's one thing to do it at Christmas break. You've played, you know, 3-4 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
This season's been going on since November. We're in February. He's averaging 15, shooting 48% from the field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man, Cole can score, man. He's put a lot of work in. That's the thing people don't see, and that's something we talked about off air. He put a lot of work in this summer. I mean, from summer games to private workouts with me to team workouts he would do, the extra work he would get at the playground. Those things are coming into fruition, and you can see his improvement. And he's an attacker. He can shoot the ball is what he was known for me my first 2 years. He was a spot-up shooter. He'll put his head down now, and he'll make a Euro step or a jump stop, and he'll get in there, and he'll get fouled, and he'll make shots, and it's awesome to see.
Jonathan Kessler, again, we're talking about a kid averaging double figures, but if we go back to the first meeting with Monticello, had problems scoring the basketball. What did they do to kind of take him, I don't want to say out of the game, but they made it difficult for him, obviously.
They did, man. They keyed into his penetration, man. Johnny's ball handling skills have improved over the course of the 3 years I've gotten to coach him, and it's great to see. And he can get to spots, and he's quick. He's got an amazingly quick first step, and they just did a good job of sagging off of him just enough. And he didn't shoot the ball that well. And that's really all you have. That's really the only way to stop John is to hope he's not shooting the ball well. You know, if you can hope for it, but if he is and you got to go out and guard him, you got no chance, you know, because he'll blow by you the moment you pressure him. So that's all they really did. They run a 2-3 zone most of the game, or pretty much all the game against us, and he just didn't shoot it well from the top, and they just sagged off him a bit. So at home, I think he'll shoot it better. And I think we'll all shoot it better. And Monticello's going to have to figure something else out. And hopefully we can pull him out of that zone and get him to go man.
Here we are talking about the offense. But as long as I've known you, everything's about the defense, right? That's where it starts, on the defensive side of the ball. The fact that you held Monticello under 50 points, typically you put yourself in a pretty good spot to win games when you hold your opponent under 50.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, I think we have the capacity to hold them lower than that. I think realistically we could hold them into the 30-40 point range. Like I said, I think we got into this ideology in the second quarter when we kept missing shots, right? It was 9-2 in the first. We thought it should have been 18-2 in the first. We just could not hit shots. Layups, threes, free throws, everything was off. So that second quarter hit and it was like, okay, this is our scoring quarter. You know, we didn't say it out loud, but I think mentally we were all there. And so our defense lacked. So that's where that 18 points in the second quarter comes. But then it balanced out the rest of the game. I think they had 11 in the third. The fourth quarter was a lot of fouls to try to get back in it. So that was free throws. I don't really care about that stuff. But we balanced it back out when we got back to our defensive mind. And that's when we're at our best, man. When these guys lock in to play defense, they are a force to be reckoned with. And they work really hard at it, too. They really do.
You've played in big games. You've coached in big games. There is a difference.
Yeah.
Have the boys embraced that? Do they understand that?
Yes.
Okay.
They have. And, I can't speak about this game. Our last two games have been insane. And it's funny because I commentated the Emory Carbon game, the girls game. And that was a double overtime thriller. It was an overtime or double overtime. I don't remember.
One overtime.
Yeah. And it was a thriller. And so I'm leaving that game and I'm going, I hope my guys don't give me one of these games at home. It was one of those games against Whitehorse. And then we played Green River last night, and it was a double overtime thriller. And I'm going, guys, y'all are battle-tested. I mean, y'all are ready for this. And they've embraced this feeling of being the underdog, the Cinderella story. They're going, no, we're going to show people who we are. And, man, that makes me proud as a coach that they have that confidence to work out there like that, but they have the discipline to work hard at practice and in the game as well.
Yeah, I've got to ask you about last night's game. Double overtime, Green River. This is on the road, no less, right? Yeah. We were just talking about playing at home opposed to on the road, 69-62. The level of scoring in the fourth quarter that you guys had to put together to get to overtime is something that was impressive in itself. You're talking about an 8-minute quarter. Right. Rules have changed. You can't hold the ball anymore. You guys put up 25 points in the fourth.
Yes. Yeah, man. I mean, man, we were down 19 in the third. And I mean, the guys could have folded. Right. And that's what you know. And so I think for me, I think I could have done some things different. I think I could have started out with more pressure. We were down a player that was really key. And I didn't know how our legs would be and our foul trouble would be. So I held off. But the moment we picked up our defensive intensity and we started to attack them defensively, we started to force turnovers. And that got us into layups. And then that got us downhill. And that got us before they set their zone up. And, man, the guys just battled and battled and battled and battled. And we just chipped away at it. And by the time you look up, we're down three. And you're going, oh, guys, we don't have to pressure that much no more. Let's let them get to half court. And we'll pressure them here so y'all can save some energy. So those things just come super fast. But, man, they got out and they just played their hearts out. I call it refusing to lose. These guys just refused to lose that game. You know, that wasn't some amazing coaching strategy. That wasn't some amazing one-man show. That was a team going, we are not about to lose here tonight. It's just not happening. And I was proud of that.
Yeah, double OT win against a rival, no less.
A rival. Right? And it was competitive energy was all through that gym.
Coach, it sets the stage for, again, a very important one coming up on Friday. Win it, region champions. I know that's something that Pinnacle's been waiting for a very long time. What do you do between now and then?
Man, we prepare, man. We celebrated the last win, and we let that one go now, and now we prepare. You know, I've watched a ton of film already. We're going to go to practice today. We're going to start implementing some of the things we want to do. I'm sure Monticello's doing the same because I know Monticello's feeling the pressure. They were hoping one of those teams knocked us off, Whitehorse or Green River, so they didn't have to worry about it. They've got to get ready now. Yep. They've got to come in ready for whatever, and now it's just going to be who executes on the game day. You know, it's like a boxing match. You're a fan of boxing.
Yep.
You got all these game plans. What Mike Tyson say, everyone's got a game plan until they get punched in the mouth. And so we're just going to see who can execute the game plan that their coaches have put out and who can come out and make shots and who can defend.
Coach, best of luck on Friday. Next week, let's catch up again.
Absolutely, man. Win, lose, or draw, we'll catch up and we'll get ready to talk about this state tournament.
I appreciate it. Thank
you, Coach. Appreciate it, man.
We'll pause one more time, come back, put the final touches with some national sports talk. When we return, we'll flip to the NFL. It's Drive Time Sports, live from the Sutherland Studios.